Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Welcome to the podcast of Around the House with Eric G. You're listening to the first hour of the radio show. Thanks for listening. For more information, head to our website, aroundthehouseonline.com. Now, let's get to the show.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G. From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way. All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio. Welcome to Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, what a week this has been with Thanksgiving.
Holidays and everything. It's just been busy. Well, and Diffing, you've been busy.
Oh, man. First off, before we talk about that, I want to welcome WCGO.
Absolutely.
Welcome, finally. Chicago. Thanks, guys. We've been waiting for you to come on board and... Man, I love that we've added Chicago to the lineup here. You know, we added Seattle and Bend is back, Bend, Oregon, and now we got Chicago. Thank you, Market 3. So we're going to keep you guys in mind, and thanks for coming on to Around the House with Eric G. and be part of Around the House Nation. What's Around the House Nation? Head over to Facebook, which is Around the House with Eric G. Then, like and follow, be a part of our Around the House Nation. It is a closed group where people share their projects and everything else of what's going on. So it's a real cool, safe place for everybody to play together and be nice. So it's super cool. And there's a lot you can do on there. And the people and the quality of people that jump on and comment is absolutely amazing. You've got architects, world-renowned designers, world-renowned architects. You've got everybody in there commenting on stuff. And everybody's super cool, so it's a great safe place to share those design projects without getting beat up like so many people do on social media.
Yeah, we kind of keep it, you know, try and keep it as positive as possible and just share what you got going on. That's what it's there for.
Absolutely. So how do you get a hold of us? Head over to Around the House with Eric G on Facebook. You can message us there. Head over to Around the House Online. That's where you can see all the videos and all the regular stuff over there. We've got the podcast up over there. So there's so many places you can find Around the House. Welcome, Chicago. Well, it's been a big last week for me. Man. Okay, so I bought a house, you know, and moving from one house to the other, got a project, and it is quite the project. You were over at the houses last week.
Yeah, it didn't take you long to get going, though.
Man, I mean, I got keys, and it looked like we were doing an extreme home makeover kind of thing, because it was like, the time starts now, and it was like the guys grocery games, you know, on there where people are running around, and I was doing that same kind of thing. And so I'm, I got a lot done. I mean, I hauled off 1,700 pounds of demo waste just on the first Saturday. So we hauled off, Julie tore into the yard.
I saw some pictures. Yeah, you guys found some treasures back there too.
So it's funny. This was pretty funny. And I think people are going to laugh about this one because it was so good. We were sitting there. And Julie is back, and we have ivy. This is in the forest area. We're a couple blocks from the lake, and it's just, this house had been taken care of for a while, and then the last 7 or 8 years, probably, maybe 5 or 6, I don't know the exact timeline, was renters, and nobody took care of anything. So you have a 1970s contemporary house on almost a half acre that people just didn't dive in and take care of stuff. Well, guess what happens? That English ivy takes over everything, and it did. We hauled off probably 2 or 3 cubic yards of ivy that we tore out of the back. And the backyard's smaller than the front yard, so that's going to be its own battle. But I will never forget Julie's face as she's pulling out the ivy to find a life-size plastic and wood deer laying there.
Just laying
antlers there. And all. It was absolutely, whoa, you got to come see this. And we just saw the head at first. I was like, oh, it's a deer head. That's weird. And then we pulled more back and it's the whole body was there like it was laying down. And from 25 feet away, it looks like there's a deer sitting there. But oh my gosh, that was the best hilarious find just right there.
Well, and it's, so, I mean, it's not necessarily small either, but it just got overgrown by that English ivy.
Ivy just took over everything out there. So,
which it does.
It does. And that's why some people love it, some people don't. But that's the funny part with that. So, well, hey, we're going to talk a lot about it today, but a couple things. One, I want to talk about how to remove a fireplace, because this has been a very requested topic by a few people on social media that we cover this. And quite frankly, what did I do last weekend? I did this because 1970s house, master bathroom, had a fireplace in it. And master bedroom had a fireplace in. The problem was, is that when you have that in there in 1970s, the closets were like 4 feet wide. That doesn't work.
No storage space.
No storage space at all. So what are we going to do? So I tore out the zero clearance fireplace in there so I could gain another 4.5 feet. We're going to add a third more closet space. And quite frankly, I'm not a huge fan of closets that are small and fireplaces in a bedroom because I like the ambiance, but I don't like warm bedrooms.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, like, 'cause when you first showed me your house, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. You know, it can be like a romantic kind of addition to the bedroom, but I mean, yeah, if you need the space.
Well, plus it was a 1970s fireplace. So it didn't have a screen on it. It's gas fired. It was easy just to unplug the thing, disconnect it and call it a day. You know, I got some roof repairs to do with that, which I did, but still. Easy fix, and I gained a lot of space. So many people have older homes, and this is kind of what I want to talk about here, and we'll talk about this in hour one, is when you dive into these kind of projects, sometimes it's that big, massive 1950s fireplace that takes up the entire middle of the house, and people don't like fireplaces. There are people out there that go, this old house this last week was sitting there, and they tore out this huge fireplace on their show because it just was in the wrong spot. So that's one of those things that you kind of need to take into account when you're doing this, because sometimes those fireplaces in older homes are structural. Sometimes they'll put it in the center of the house. It's brick and it's holding up that center core. So that's the first thing I want you to take a look at when you're going to remove a fireplace, is figure out if that's a structural integrity part of the home.
I imagine if it is, it's a lot bigger project than you would probably expect.
This is when you're going to get the engineer in to come take a look at it. So if it's in that center core, and if you get up and maybe poke a hole in the ceiling and take a look and go, wow, my floor joists for the second floor tie into
all
that.
Into it, yeah.
Or pocketed in or fastened to it or sitting on a ledge. You've got a bigger project now. And that's when you bring in the engineers with that. So that's one of the first things you want to do with this, because if not, you're going to have a big, big problem with that. So it's just one of those things we need to take a look at. So it's one of those things that's like, yeah, let's be careful with that. Because that is where, man, I tell you what, that structural integrity part of this is where things can go sideways. Now, one of the other ones I want to do before you get too far in this, before we go out to break here in just a minute, is you need a test for asbestos. We talk about this because you're going to be dealing with asbestos in an older home. If you've got something that work was done in those 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you could have drywall. You could have a bunch of different things that have asbestos into it. You could have an old zero clearance fireplace that has asbestos wrapped around stuff. So these are things that I want you to be aware of. And then the second part of that is silica dust. And there is a big, huge push on silica dust these days. And that's one of the things that I really want people to, and people are like, what's silica dust? It's like, well, that's sand, right? Well, here's the problem is that they have, because silicosis can really harm you, that concrete or mortar dust is toxic to you. So that's why if you've been watching people in the construction trades, they sit there and they've got all these vacuum systems around their chippers. They've got them around the drills when they're drilling into concrete. So they've got this HEPA vacuum system that goes around it that sucks all that dust in. So then that way you don't have to wear a respirator and all that other stuff and control the dust. Well, that's where you get into a little bit of problems, because as a homeowner, you'll step in there and go, I'm going to tear this whole brick chimney down. You got. I know somebody that knows a lot about this stuff, who's an expert in this, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus because it wasn't their fault. They went on vacation and had somebody come in, another company, tuck point their whole chimney. They came in, did it wrong, it didn't follow the rules, and then what happened? That next day, on Monday morning, they had somebody in from the state of Oregon telling them they got to fix it and clean up the neighborhood a little bit. Hey, when we go out to break here, when we come back, let's talk more about taking down a chimney as soon as Around the House returns. Single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
All right. We've been talking home improvement here. This is what we do every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. This is one of those things that I've tried to make this, and this is for all you people that are back with us in Bend, Oregon and Chicago, Illinois. This is a show where we dive into the details, but have a lot of fun doing it. So I want you to join us on Facebook, because half of the entertainment goes on during the week, because we always put something funny up there. I mean, like last week with the turkey.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was the Phoenix Fire Department dropping a frozen turkey in. And if you want to see what a mushroom cloud looks like coming out of a turkey fryer, go to Facebook Around the House with Eric G.
Hopefully you didn't do that on your holiday.
No. That's a bad accident waiting to happen. And there's so much fire there that just a normal drop and roll wasn't going to put the fire out on you if you did that yourself. That was really bad. But long story short, this is where we have fun with home improvement here, and we want you to join us in the conversation. Send us a message on Facebook. This is where we get a lot of show ideas, and we'll put you in the show Around the House with Eric G. If you head over there, message us, and we'll actually throw you on the show.
So absolutely.
That's part of the plan here. And so over the holidays here, we've got a lot of home improvement we're going to be talking about, so we're going to keep our foot into it. Today, we're talking right now about removing a fireplace. And that's where you got to be really careful. We talked about the structural issues and stuff with it last segment. But really, you got to test for that asbestos in the, I'm going to get people up to speed here. If you've got drywall, that kind of stuff, just test everything for asbestos to make sure you know what you're dealing with. But then if you've got a brick chimney that you're going to take down, that's where you got to be careful with that silica dust. And we were talking about that before break. But the biggest thing with that is you've got to control the dust. So if you're up there just with a hammer and you're knocking bricks off and it's not that big a deal, just get a hose up there to kind of dampen things down again. You're going to be pretty good. If you have to get a saw out, or if you're getting a chipper out or something like that, pay attention to the dust rules out there, because I tell you what, it's a federal law that you have to control that dust now. It's not just a local state thing. It is a OSHA law that you can't be breathing that. So if you're up there and you are doing that, one, you got to control the dust for people around you. Like if you're on your roof and you're chipping stuff away and you've got dust coming up. Second of all, you need to have the right respirator for silica to make sure, full face respirator that you're wearing to keep that stuff from going in your lungs, because that can be deadly.
Well, there's a reason that, I mean, we're talking legal. Yes, there are issues, but there are a reason that there are legal issues. This is dangerous. This can cause some major problems in your lungs. So there's a reason why these laws are in place.
Absolutely. And that's one of those things that you just got to be really super careful with out there. So everybody just watch that. No matter what we're talking about here, that silicosis stuff can be deadly to you, and nobody wants to die early from that. So here's the thing. So when you're trying to figure out if you can take this chimney out, really there's two different kinds that you're looking at usually. You've got your brick chimney, or you've got like your zero clearance fireplace like I took out of my house. Mm-hmm. I had that galvanized and stainless tube that went up to the roof and a cap. That's, of course, almost every time the easiest to take down because you've got a wood-framed system. You've got a metal duct that goes up, and in an hour or two, if you're handy with a sawzall and you know what you're doing, you can take a system out like that. If you've got a couple guys and a big fireplace and it's breaking apart already, yeah, you might knock it out in a day. But for it to come down, depending on what you've got to do, because if you've got a two-story home and you've got it starting out roofline, you're starting out there, well, you get up to the roof, get that knocked down. Now you got to go into that second floor and tear out a wall usually to get
to it.
Then you got to go down to the next level, go through the first floor, and then end up in the basement. I always recommend taking it all the way down. But before you do that, you need to figure out some things of what is connected to. There are some risks that you have here. If you've got a 60s home, maybe you've got a basement fireplace. So you've got a basement fireplace that is going up to the flue in that chimney on the way up. So if you're taking down the upstairs fireplace, you're going to be taking down the downstairs fireplace with it because that whole thing shares it up all the way
through. It's all a system.
They're all stacked up. Yeah, you've got usually on something like that where you've got two fireplaces. You have a basement fireplace that has a nice tube going up in the brick for that one. You've got the upstairs fireplace that goes up. And then usually there's a third kind of ductwork that comes up out of that fireplace. And that's your vent for maybe your furnace or water heater.
Okay.
You know, whatever kind of furnace you have. And so that can be a vent for that, especially if you've got oil or gas or something like that. So that's not that big a deal, but you got to think about it. If you're going to take that down, okay, I'm killing two fireplaces, but where's my vent going?
Now you got to put that somewhere if you're going to fill someplace in that space. Yeah.
Maybe you're going to put it all the way up through there, but if you're trying to go with an open concept down below and it's in the middle of your space, now you've got to think about where that's going to rerun and where it's going to go effectively.
Yeah, you don't want to lose your heat. If it goes all down to the basement, you don't have people down there and you want it on your main floor or the upper floor, you're not going to get the heat up there.
Well, it's not so much that. It's really the venting, because what happens is when they're combusting that air, you've got the exhaust going up through that. Now, sometimes many times I have seen ducting get run up next to that in that same cavity because they've got a drywall thing around it or something like that. So there can be a ton of, I had electrical in mine.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah. I mean, so you can deal with that stuff. So that's stuff that you got to think about. But again, those are things you got to think about. Now, you might have to rerun those vents for the water heater. If you got electric water heater, no big deal. If you got a heat pump with no gas-fired furnace, not that big a deal. Just got to check out for some of that stuff. Now, here's the other thing too, is when you're removing the brick, that can be really easy, but you got to think about what you're going to do with that brick. You're going to have a truckload or two of brick, pallets of this stuff. If you've got a decent sized, you know, fireplace you're taking down, you could have, you know, if you're getting rid of this brick and you're going to haul it off to the dump, you've got thousands of pounds of brick you're going to get rid of. So maybe you might want to be a little more careful.
And repurpose it, maybe?
Repurpose it.
Yeah.
Use it around the house. Maybe you throw it up on, you know, a marketplace site up there on Facebook or Craigslist or something like that. And then you can sell it and just get it gone. Hey, when we come back here, we're going to talk a little bit more about taking down this kind of fireplace and making sure you got this safe. We're going to do that just as soon as Around the House returns.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Want to be part of the conversation here? Head over to Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. Make sure you send us a message over there. This is where we're going to be talking today. To start out with, we're talking about removing a fireplace. Hour number two, stay tuned for that because we're going to be talking about kind of our holiday Christmas decorating hour. We're going to talk about some of the safe things to do and some of the things that I've seen that ended really badly. I want to make sure everybody's following those rules a little bit because nobody wants to see a house get burned down or fall off a roof or any of those crazy things that happen in every single Christmas movie that we
no
watch.
No Chevy Chase, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know I'm a millennial, but I've still seen Christmas Vacation.
There we go. That's and of course, Die Hard.
Oh, absolutely. That is a Christmas movie.
And if you want to debate that, head over to Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, and we'll have that conversation.
I'll argue with you on that one.
Exactly. Well, so we've been talking about, you know, removing a fireplace, and this has been one of those top subjects that has really been our most requested one right now. So we've been talking about that. Now, as you're bringing that brick down, so if you're taking one of those brick fireplaces down, you've got a place that you know where the brick's going to go. You're going to get rid of it or you're going to repurpose it. Just got to be safe when you bring that down. So you're going to start out at the top, of course, and you're just going to start taking every row down. Clean up the brick as best you can if you're going to reuse it. And there's smart ways to do it where you don't bust the brick up. And if the brick's old, you know, the mortar's probably fairly washed out. And so it's going to come apart pretty easy. Sometimes, though, you end up just busting it up and you end up hauling it off away and paying a pretty penny for it. But, you know, a good solid day with a couple people that know what they're doing, most chimneys can come down that quickly. Some of the things you can do beforehand, though, is to open it up. So you go in and open up the rooms above where it comes up through a closet or maybe it comes through a bathroom. There's places like that you got to be really careful with, though, because now you're doing some remodeling on every floor. Maybe that came through the kitchen. That happens a lot. So you go through and take it out that way and then just bring it all the way down. So now you've got it pretty well done. Now, here's the thing that you got to be careful with a gas fireplace, for instance. Make sure you get that gas valve off. Make sure you disconnect the fire log set that's in there. So there's usually a union in there that you disconnect. Mm-hmm. When in doubt, hire a plumber to come in first and disconnect it. That's probably my biggest recommendation. If you are not handy, this is more of an advanced thing because you don't want to blow the house up or blow the neighborhood up. So when in doubt, bring in somebody that knows how to disconnect it, do what they need to do, get that thing disconnected. And then what you're going to do is actually, it's a similar kind of thing. It's depending on how it's put together. But like in my house, I had the fireplace unit that went into the wall. And then you had the big metal 12-inch tube that went up through the roof. Well, with that one, all you had to do is take out some screws, and that was fastened to the flange up on the roof, so it wasn't going to move up and down. So I could actually lift it up just a little bit and bend that, slide the unit out.
Okay.
And then you could get on the roof, take a couple screws up, and lift it out that way.
And pull the metal out that way.
And then you got a roof patch. Not that big a deal. You know, that's the other thing you need to think about, what you're going to do to patch that roof. Because you might have a 24 by 24 area. You could have a 12-inch area. You could have a 4-foot area where it came up through. How are you going to do that? And how are you going to patch that roof correctly? And watch your weather when you're doing this.
I was going to say, our new friends in Chicago, I haven't looked up the weather, but I know Chicago coming into right here in December, it's typically not too nice to get up and do some roofing in this time of year.
No, and the problem is when you do roofing when it's cold out, that tar is not going to get held up down to that, because what happens is you put that new roofing up, let's say it's 3-tab roofing that you're putting up there, an architectural asphalt shingle. When you put that up on it, now you're putting that down and the sun is not getting warm enough to actually heat that tar up enough for them to stick together. So the next windstorm comes up and it likes to blow them off the roofs and they end up in the backyard or the neighbor's yard. So it's just one of those things that got to be a little bit careful doing those repairs this time of year now that we're in the winter time. Now, I know everybody's staring at stuff. It's, you know, it's we're in the Christmas season now. Might not be the time of year to go tear into this one because it's going to be a dusty, ugly mess. This might be a good springtime project, but it's a good plan for having it ready for next year. And that's the key with that. So really coming down is just going to be removal of debris and getting out of there. There might be a place that you can recycle that stuff. Again, be careful depending on where you're living with the drywall. If you had to open up and take drywall out, if you had that asbestos certified, now you can get rid of it correctly. You know, if you're in the city of Portland or in the Portland metro area where we are here, the rules are pretty strict. If you're going to show up with drywall or plaster, you better have that certification from a testing company that said they came in and tested the material and said that you have no asbestos. They won't take it.
It's a wasted trip to the dump if you don't.
It is, and then it's going to cost you even more. Now, if you get into other cities, nobody cares. It goes in the dumpster, it goes in.
Or more rural areas or anything like that.
Yeah, just depending on where it is. And, you know, it's different. Every state's different, even though legally, federally, you can't dispose of asbestos-containing materials like that, you know, where it's over 1%. You can't dispose of that in a regular landfill. It has to go to a hazardous material site. So that's where that gets kind of interesting, and that's where you got to really start paying attention to where those rules are, because, oh, man, it's going to get you every single time. I want to talk a little bit about here. That kind of wraps up our chimney thing. I wanted to talk about some of the tools I've been using at my house on my remodel.
Hey, yeah. Let's
because
yeah.
Because we've been talking about that. And, you know, next week we're going to talk a little bit more about one of our hours. We're going to talk about our holiday tool and
gift
giving ideas. So we're going to talk a little bit about some new cool stuff with that. But I tell you what, I've been using some tools right now that I used a little bit just around the house. But now that I'm diving into projects.
Big projects.
Big projects. I've been using that multi-tool, which is Milwaukee's multi-tool. So it's that, you know, Fine came out with them originally. They're a little thin blade. It sounds, when you turn it on, almost like a blade that they're going to cut your cast off with. Like when you break a bone or something. Mm-hmm. But it's got that fine tooth. Man, you can perform so many surgeries with that. To remove wood carefully.
And precise, I imagine, as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was cutting through areas where they had put in a bunch of caulking and stuff when I had to remove that piece of outside siding off. It had been overly caulked. And so I went through and ran that blade right along. I mean, I could have sat there, I guess, with a knife for an hour. But in 5 minutes, I could take care of it. So I tell you what, it's just one of those things with remodeling, and it's fun because I've been diving into some big projects. Having a good multi-tool is, again, one of those things that is almost just as important of having a good impact driver. That thing and having a great blade, I had to go in and cut some wood out of the way. Man, it just cuts through. It cuts straight. It does exactly what you want it to do. The only other option I would have really had to get in there, you can't get in there with a circular saw. You could get in there maybe with a handsaw, but that's the hard way to do it. Other than that, you're getting in there with a sawzall. And that's a brutal tool.
Yeah, it's bulky and trying to get that in there and be precise.
And the worst part about it is when you're in there being that kind of heavy-handed, it's like taking an axe to do finish work. It just doesn't go well, you know? It's not going to cut very straight. The blade, when you're up against something hard, the tip's bouncing off it. It's just not the right tool for it. So if you're thinking out there, and I'm going to slide this in on a gift-giving idea, or if you're going to put it on your holiday or Christmas list this year, that's one of those tools that I think everybody should have in their toolbox, to have a good one of those, because I can't tell you the 100 times I've used it in the last week and a half.
Where you could have maybe used a different tool, but this one alone made the job so much easier. And we all know time is money.
Time is money, and I'm not damaging materials, because if you're coming in there and you want to get a good straight cut, it works great for that. And that's one of those things that has been really, really good. And now here's another thing I want people to take a look at out there too. If you're in the construction trades, now is a time to really keep an eye out in your home centers, your East Hardware's, your True Values, your Home Depot's, your Lowe's, your Menards, wherever else you do your shopping with out there. Look for those little gift boxes. They're selling some tools super cheap.
This is where you can find some really good deals out there.
We'll talk about that more when we come back, just when Around the House returns.
must confess, got myself in a terrible mess. I got a new tattoo, two black eyes. Missing one too, but you should see the other guy. Girl, I must admit I don't remember much. Someone must have served me a knockout punch. Cops with me up off of the ground.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, we've been talking about everything this hour, from tearing down chimneys to talking about tools. But, you know, my remodel has been coming up, and so you're going to see a lot more content. We got some new ideas. We're not going to share those just yet about how we're going to do them, but keep watching on Facebook. I put up a picture last week. I'll put up some this weekend of kind of what I've been doing up there, but I think we might see some videos in the future here shortly. So stay tuned for that. Now, here's one other thing I want to talk about, and I know this is a little bit self-serving, but it's been a very requested thing as I'm looking at you wearing your Around the House hat over there.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you want to get some stuff for that great listener out there that is really a big fan of the show, and you hear them listen to the show every week, we don't make a ton of money on this. Like, we make enough to break even on this, but this is just for spreading the word out, and you guys have been asking for it for a number of years. Head over to Around the House online and head to the store. There's t-shirts, there's hats, there's a whole bunch of stuff over there.
Coffee mugs.
There is stuff out there for Around the House, and if you have that fan or if you want it to go show off that little bit of wear at work or in the office or anything else like that, go over and have some fun. You can order it. It's affordable. It's not crazy priced. It's as least as we could get it out there. And they'll get that stuff and get it made up and sent out to you. So we've got t-shirts and jackets and a lot of stuff over there. So
men's and women's items.
Absolutely. So it's all over there, and have some fun with it. And then once you get it, take some cool pictures of where that stuff is. If you're working on a project, I want to see that coffee mug sitting in front of it. I want to see that hat with the mask on or the safety glasses. Have a good time with it. Let's see it. I want to see the bragging rights out there of who's going to be the kind of the king or queen of the hill out there doing stuff. Who's going to show the coolest projects out there sporting the Around the House
Gear. I want to see people like on Around the House Nation, which is our closed Facebook group where you can share stuff. I would love to see some of our stuff just kind of slip into some of those pictures.
That would be great. And we're going to have a lot of fun with that stuff. So, and this is going to be limited edition stuff out there. This will, we will redesign that probably for this next year. So be the first to get this stuff, because we've got some updates and stuff coming along as well as the show gets bigger. Be the first to have this stuff, and be the first group.
Show it off. We'd love to see it.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking kind of tools and stuff like that here in safety. And we're going to talk here in the next hour about decorating for the holidays and stuff. But I want to talk about some projects you can be doing right now that we're getting close to the holidays. I mean, we're in the holidays now, but we got Christmas and New Year's coming up. And if you've got family coming in, some of those little projects you can jump into, they're kind of easy ones. You know, if you've got that, maybe that toilet that always backs up, that always has a problem, maybe take on that thing. Maybe, you know, you got, oh man, we always have to leave the plunger up there. We always have to deal with that kind of stuff. Make sure you got that fixed. Head out and get a new Toto or Waterworks or something out there that's nice. You get what you pay for. It's like dishwashers. When you buy a toilet, you get what you pay for. If you buy the $99 one, you're getting a $99 toilet, and you might as well spend another 10 or 15 bucks on a plunger to go with it. But if you go out and spend $300 or $400 on one and you get something good, and I'm not saying go to the home centers, I'm saying go to your plumbing supply store, because there are different grades of toilets out there. When you do that, now you've got something that's going to last a long time and quite frankly save you money, because you're going to spend, you know, if somebody has to flush the toilet three times, that's not saving you water, folks. It's not. You know, it's one of those things. And just be careful with that. You know, put the right one in. Do it right. They start to pay for themselves pretty quickly, especially if you had an old 3.5 gallon flush and you've got a new 1 gallon flush. And if you live in some of these places that have very expensive water rates, guess what? That's going to save you a ton of money.
That extra 2 gallons each flush. And imagine how many times you flush your toilet every day, especially if you have a family or if you're in a family household.
Yeah.
You can save yourself a lot of money each month.
I was having a cool discussion this week too about, and this is interesting. We're going to talk more about this in another show, but I just want to kind of tease ahead, you know, with water heaters out there. I was having a great discussion about heat pump water heaters out there. People go, oh, heat pump water heaters. water heaters are not sexy. They're not something that people, they replace them when they break or they
and then forget about them.
Forget about them. Most people don't even know what brand they have out there, whether it's, you know, electric or gas or whatever else. But before we go out to break, that is the only water heater out right now that you get a 300% efficiency. So if you think about it, for the energy you spend to do that, you get three times the return on that.
Oh, wow.
So if you've got a 90% efficiency gas unit that's doing well, great. But these things are getting so much better out there. Hey, when we come back, let's talk about hour number two and the holidays. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. For listening to hour one of Around the House with Eric G. That is the radio show. Now, let's tune into hour number two. But first, let's like, follow, subscribe to any of the podcast formats you're listening to, whether it's SoundCloud or Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any one of those formats sure help us out if you do that, and it'll help us spread the word of Around the House. Thanks for listening. Let's hit hour number two.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.